All right, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, can we give God praise for everything he just did through the choir right now? That's as someone who has no musical talent or background, it's incredibly impressive to be able to put all that together on such a short notice. And I love that last song. If y'all haven't heard Randy Travis sing that song, go and get on Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube and listen to it. I listened to it on the way to church this morning. It's so good. Do yourself a favor and do that. Okay, so Psalm chapter 3 is where we're going to be today, the third psalm. So, yes, this was a short notice type of thing, which is great because I preached this message on Thursday to the youth group. So, youth group, if y'all would have just listened a little bit better, we wouldn't be in this situation right now. But God apparently said y'all need it again. So we're going to put this blame on them. No, I was literally thinking the other night after I preached this, I was like, man, I like that. I really would like to do that again because on Thursday night, we had just finished playing Capture the Flag. And because I'm such an athlete and a team player, I was really giving it my all. And I was not feeling very well when I preached this message after running around the whole property for 20 minutes. So I'm glad to get a shot at redemption with this message. That being said, keep Anthony in your prayers, please. I know this is not fun for him at all, so keep him in your prayers. But Psalm chapter 3 is where we're at today. So when I first came to Fork Union Baptist and started with the youth group, I gave all the youth group members out cards and said anonymously, you know, write down questions that you have, something you want to learn about from the Bible. So that was a little over two years ago. So when we moved back to the church and we started all these new changes, I said, well, let's do that again. Now that we've all grown as people, we've all had different experiences in those 2 years, let's try this again and see what else, what other questions we have, whatever stuff we want to learn about. So that's what we've been doing at youth group for the past few weeks now. And the question that we talked about this past Thursday was one that resonated with me. And I think, if I had to guess, is going to resonate with a lot of people here in the church service today. The question was, how do I rely on God through the good times and the bad times, right? Something that we've been trying to figure out for years now, right, as believers. How do I rely on God when times are good, but also more specifically when times are bad, when things aren't going the way that I want them to go? Well, in our passage today, we're going to see that God wants you to rely on him in the good times and the bad. This is one of the hardest things that any Christian has to answer. However, we are not alone in our struggle. Scripture details the lives of believers who have gone on before us, who have showed us by their example of how we're supposed to live out our life during these trials. We're in the book of Psalms, so we're talking about David today, right? David, the author of this psalm. David was the one who exemplified in this psalm, how am I supposed to live my life when trials come? We think about David, right? We think of a lot of good stuff. He was anointed as king as a young boy. He killed Goliath. He brought success to Israel, right? Everybody loved David. Still to this day, David is a well-loved figure in their history, right? But David also had a lot of really bad stuff come about in his life, right? He was hated by the king, Saul, who was also happened to be his best friend's dad, so that was horrible. He was hunted down by Saul. He was hunted down by his own son, Absalom. He had all the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba. David was no stranger to having struggles in his life. So when we read this third psalm, David is speaking from experience of what to do, where do you go with your heart when you face these struggles in your life. So starting in verse 1, we're going to read through it and then we'll go down verse by verse. It's a short psalm. This was relatively short on Thursday night, so I think we're going to be out of here ready in time for all the 1 o'clock kickoffs. So verse 1, it says, O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. And this is where it gets fun. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. Before we dive in and get started, let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everything you're doing here. I pray for Anthony again. Help him to heal up, Lord. I pray for the service today that you would bless it. God, use me in your strength, not mine, for your glory, not mine. God, hear us and help us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dive right in. How do we respond to trials in our life? Sometimes it's easier to rely on God in the good times, right? When there's money in the bank, nice car in the driveway, the kids are behaving, work's going well. We can rely on God pretty easily then, right? If we don't get sidetracked by our own pride and think we did it ourselves, it's usually pretty easy to rely on God. But that's not where we find David. Pretty much nothing was going right for David in this psalm. If you look down in your Bibles, mine has a heading above it that says, A Psalm of David Regarding the Time David Fled from His Son Absalom. So David, right now, as he's writing this, being chased and hunted down by his own son, right? His own son is actively trying to kill him when he's writing this. This is not right after he defeated Goliath. This is not right after he was anointed king. This is not right after the birth of his first child, right? This is not a good time in David's life. And yet he's going to show us how he responded to that. So let's dive in. Starting in the first two verses we see, and we're going to kind of come back to the first two verses last, but we start off David's praying to God. But the first response we're supposed to have from this psalm that God wants us to have when trials come in our life, when we want to say, God, I want to rely on you in these bad times, but I don't know how. Well, here's the first way. Number one, you praise God. Simple as that. David praised God. Look back down at verse 3. He said, But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. In verse 3, we see that David praised God. So, natural application. When trial comes in your life, what should I do? Well, I should praise God. Number one, you should praise God for everything he's done for you, right? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have something to thank God for. I don't care what's going on in your life. The gospel, the fact that God came down from heaven and died on the cross for your sins, right? That is something to be thankful for. But there is the fact that you have a roof over your head, there's food on your table, right? There is so much we have to be thankful for. When trials come in our life, yes, we want to focus on that, and that's natural human reaction to trials. But if you could shift your focus to praising God for what he's done for you, that's where David started. But more specifically, what David was praising God for had nothing to do with his possessions. It had nothing to do for what God was doing in his life. What God was praising God for, or David was praising God for in this passage, was who God was himself. In verse 3, he said, You, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. When trials come in your life, yes, thank God for all of his blessings in your life. That's a good thing to do. But I think more importantly, and what the example we see from David is here, is when trials come in your life, thank God for who he is. Why is that? Because when you start focusing on God and who he is, your focus is no longer on your circumstances, good or bad. You could focus on your blessings, but that all at the end of the day, that comes back to circumstances. But God does not change. Your blessings may feel like they're changing all the time, but God does not change. Your circumstances, they change. God does not change. And that's what David was thanking God for. Even in this time of uncertainty in his life, even in this time of heartbreak, David was praising God for who he is. So when a trial comes in your life, you don't have to use the same words David did. I think they're good words, right? If we tell God he's a shield around us, he's our glory. What do we have to glory in other than God, right? There's nothing we have other than God to glory in. He's the one that holds our head high in those bad times, right? Those are all good things. That's what David praised God for being that for him. But think about what else he is in our life. He's our Savior, the Bible says. He's our Creator. He's sovereign over every single thing that happens, right? He's holy. He's just, but he's also loving and kind. He's our Father. He's our friend, right? All of these things that describe the very nature of who God is. When a bad time comes, thank God for who he is, because those attributes of God are what's going to get you through it. It's not the money in the bank that's going to get you through it. It's not the car in the driveway. No, it's none of those material things that we think of as blessings. It's who God is. That's what's going to sustain you through that trial. So number one, when bad times come, when you want to keep relying on God, praise him. Praise him for who he is. Secondly, and this one kind of goes right along with it, remember what God has done for you in the past. Look down at verses 4 and 5. He says, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. In verses 4 and 5, we see that David, in the midst of this trial, he is remembering what God had done for him in the past. When you're doing this, again, it's about shifting focus. Your focus is now, his focus is now off the fact that he's being hunted by his own son. And his focus is on the fact that God has delivered him from this before. Right? This is not David's first time being hunted by someone, which is wild to me that you could get in this situation two times in your life, but he did. He had been hunted by King Saul and his men for being the next king in line. Saul hated him for that, and he escaped from him then, and that's what David was reflecting on. David was reflecting on the fact that, God, I've been through these trials before, and you've gotten me out of them every single time. Church, when trials come in our life, and we could shift our focus onto God's faithfulness in the past, and think about those times in your life like where you're sitting there saying, yes, God, right now I'm in this, and it's bad. I'm going through this, fill in the blank. There is no shortage of bad stuff we can go through. Or maybe you're just looking around at the world, right? We talked about that a little bit at the beginning. The world is in an absolute mess right now. And if we're not careful, that gets us down. That gets us so discouraged. And we forget that's the same God who's been here all along throughout human history, who has seen wars, who has seen turmoil, and gotten us through all of that, right? Focus on what God has done for you in the past. Think back and reflect in your life about a trial or about a time where you saw God do something that only God could have done. For me, I was living a lot of stuff, actually. But when I was a kid, a teenager, and my dad was sick, right? And I got to see God work through and heal, use modern medicine and doctors and heal my dad and then bring him to faith in Christ, right? That was something where I still think back and think, God, wow. And that was an incredible thing to see, an incredibly faith-building thing. And I think back at college, and believe it or not, I wasn't a great student. So when I would have tests and stuff like that, and I would need, God, I'm trying to put my work in, God, but you're going to have to really do this at the end of the day. And I would see God come through, or in friendships or relationships, and I would see God work and do things. Those are the types of scenarios where you got to look back in your life when you're in a trial and say, God, no, I've seen you work before. I'm not going to let this trial shift my reliance away from you. No, God, I've seen you work before. I'm going to keep relying on you because I know you can deliver me from this situation. Even if you feel like, well, there's nothing in my life. I've just never seen God work. First of all, that's a lie. Second of all, look to Calvary. Right, look and see what God did on the cross. Right, he was working for you then. Look at what he's done for David in this passage. If it's not your own examples, if you really feel like there's nothing in your life where you can look back and say, God's done this for me, you can look back at Scripture and see all the examples of God working for his people and working for those who love him, right? Look back and reflect. That's what the children of Israel did, right? That's what a lot of the Psalms are about. It's about God's sovereignty and about God's power in delivering the nation of Israel, right? And if we could get that in our life and think, God, you know, you didn't part the Red Sea for me, but you helped me pass the test. Or God, you didn't part the Red Sea for me, but you helped fix my marriage. Or fill in the blank of whatever it is. Those are the type of things when trials come in our life that we can look back on and we can see God's faithfulness in our life and we could be strengthened to get through them and we can keep relying on him. So to keep relying on God, number one, David praised God. He remembered what God had done for him in the past. And then lastly, you see that David continued to pray. Verse 7, and let's look at verses 1 and 2 first. He's talking to God. That's how he starts it all out. He starts out just talking to God. He says, Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. And look back down at verses 7 and 8. He says, arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. When these trials came to David's life, David kept praying. That's where he starts the psalm out. In verses 1 and 2, he's just telling God what he's going through. God already knew, right? This prayer is not to get God's attention and be like, hey, God, in case you didn't know, I'm going through a struggle right now. God knows. This prayer is for David For him to have the self-realization of where he's at in life, that he needs God's help. That's what this prayer is for. He's telling God, God, I have so many enemies. He's saying, God, they're telling me that you're not even going to help me. That's what he's pouring his heart out to God. Church, when you're in those trials, again, like I just mentioned, I can remember being there as a kid and just seeing everything that was going on, and that's what I would do. I would read through the Psalms and just tell God what was happening in my life. God, my dad is sick. God, I'm struggling in school. God, I have this, that. And we could all do those same things with our struggles in our life, just like David did. That's what David starts out. He's pouring out his heart to God. And then verses 7 and 8, again, these verses make me laugh every time. I think it's like if we were reading it in like the King James or something like that, it would sound a little bit better. But like this, it just sounds funny to me. He says, slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked, right? I paid a lot of money to go to school and learn that that's called an imprecatory prayer. So you're welcome. You learned something at church today that you will never, ever use, right? And I'm not going to advocate that we pray this way, right? First of all, no one in here has enemies like this, right? So that person who hurt your feelings is not your enemy, right? That family member that's treating you bad, they're not your enemy, right? David was literally trying to be killed. So if there's any justification for that, if someone is actively trying to kill you, maybe you can pray this prayer. Otherwise, I would highly stay away from it. But that's what he's doing. He's pouring out his heart to God. We're not going to sit there and pray for people's teeth to be broken out. That's not what we're about. But you will pray, youth group, right, that you'll pass a test. You will pray for your future husband or wife. Or you will pray for your children, parents, right, that they'll continue to follow God. You will pray for your work situation if you have a stressful job and whatnot. You will pray for those things. The point is, it's not what David was praying about, because that's going to change from person to person. The point is, he kept praying so many times. These bad times come, it's like we forget that God's even there, and all of our focus is shifted, and we forget that we can go to God with anything and go to him in prayer. But that's what David was doing. In the midst of everything that was going on in his life, he still made time, and he knew that the only way he was going to get out of this was by praying to God for his help. David was a military guy. He was a warrior, right? He probably could have fought pretty hard. I'm willing to bet he probably could have, in his own human strength, he probably could have done something that would have really aided the situation, but that's not what he did. He went to God in prayer for his strength and his help. He told him, victory comes from you. David was a man who had seen so much victory, especially in this military aspect. David could have figured this out, I think. But he said, no. Victory comes from you, O Lord. So we've seen so far, when trials come in our life, how are we to respond if we want to keep relying on God, right? We want to say, God, I need you, but how do I do it when these bad times come? Well, first of all, you're going to praise God. Secondly, you're going to reflect on his past faithfulness. And then lastly, you're going to keep praying. So we read that and we say, okay, well, that's great, but that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it, right? It's a lot easier to go to church and say, yeah, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to think about his past actions, and I'm going to pray, right? That's all seems like pretty simple stuff. I'm going to do it. And the next thing you know, there's a doctor's visit that you don't like, or there's a phone call or a voicemail on your phone that doesn't really find you too well, or something's bad at work, or there's a breakup. There's something that's going to shatter your world. And now all of a sudden you think, well, how do I keep doing these things? Why is that? For so long, I thought, well, it's because I'm not spiritual, right? It's because I'm doing something wrong in my relationship with God that I can't just figure out how to keep relying on God in these trials. And church, that's not necessarily what it is. If you're struggling relying on God during your trials, it's not that you're not saved. It's not that you're not spiritual. It's not that you're a bad Christian. I think one thing always gets in the way of us in our relationship with God. One thing is always going to get in the way of us trying to rely on God during these bad times. That's one thing. It's our emotions, right? So many times bad situations come into our lives, we act on emotion. All we can feel is sadness. All we can feel is anger. And even when we try to do these things that David did, our emotions still stay the same. I still feel sad that they hurt me. I still feel angry that they hurt me. And this trial is in my life, and I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do, God, so why don't I feel any different? But the problem with that is, at that point, you're living from emotion, right? A lot of you guys know, I think, youth group knows, I'm a huge Liberty sports fan, right? I love the men's basketball team, love the football team. It's football season, thank God. I love football season. But the good thing about football season is after it ends, it's basketball season, which I also love. The Liberty basketball coach, I heard him in an interview or something at one point, either a player quoted him or something, but he had a quote that says, "Emotions are great passengers, but they make terrible drivers," right? So he's thinking about from a basketball standpoint, from a sports standpoint, right? He doesn't want his players going and cussing out a ref and getting a technical foul and putting his team in a bad spot, right? That's the natural application for him. But for us as Christians, right, the principle still remains the same. Your emotions are great passengers, but they make terrible drivers. I got a buddy that I went to high school with, and he would fit this category. Like, I could sub his name out. I won't do it. But I could sub his name out for so-and-so is a great passenger, but he makes a terrible driver, right? Just riding around on, like, the back roads and whatnot, right? It's a frightening experience. I really don't care. Like, if I'm not the driver, I don't care if we get into a wreck. Truthfully, I don't, because that's on them. That's their fault. But it will make you grab, like, that handle in the truck a little bit harder. It will make you grab the armrest just a little bit harder, right? When these people drive, like, we all probably know someone like that. Maybe you are that person. Right? You're a great passenger. I would love to take him on a trip, right? Bring the energy up, sing the songs with me, right? It's a great time, but just not necessarily the person you want driving the vehicle. That's what our emotions are. It's great if we can bring our emotions along during trials and something good happens in our life. We feel happy. Happy is a great emotion to find, and that's a great emotion to bring along. But when happiness becomes the driver, now all of a sudden I'm trying to live my life just to feel that feeling of happiness. And that's not always going to benefit you. You live to feel happy. Or sadness comes along, right? Something bad happens in my life and I feel sad and angry. Well, that's a good emotion to bring along. It's natural. It may not feel good, but it is natural. But then you get to this place where we're talking about today, where those trials come and you're fueled and you're driven by sadness and anger. Well, that's how come we do all these things that David's doing and it feels like it's not working. But church, and again, I know this sounds like a little bit off topic, but for the youth group, I think it made a little more sense. Maybe not for you guys, but we're going to keep rolling with it. When we look at David's example, right, do we think that David, as he's being chased down and hunted by his own son, trying to take the throne away from him, do we think David felt like praying? Do you think David felt like telling God, "God, you're my shield, you're my glory, you're the one that holds my head high"? Do we think David felt like praising God? I mean, truthfully, David was a human being, and he had so much stuff going on in his life right now that was bad. Do we really think he felt, like physically felt, like telling God that he loves him and he's going to praise him? I don't think he did. I don't think David felt like praising God. I don't think David felt like remembering the past stuff that God had done for him, right? I don't think he felt like doing that. And church, what I want to challenge us with is that when these trials come in your life, you're not going to feel like praising God. You're not going to feel like remembering his faithfulness. You're not going to feel like to continue to pray. You're not going to feel like doing any of that. You're not going to feel like reading scripture. But church, if you wait till you feel like it, you're never going to do it. That's the biggest lie I ever told myself. Was as a kid, as a teenager, I would read my Bible for a little while, then I would get to a point where, like, God, I don't feel like doing it. And I would tell God and I would tell myself, like, well, Lord, I'll read it when I feel like it, because if I don't feel like doing it, I'm not going to get anything out of it. And that's not true. That is a lie straight from the devil. You have to have self-discipline like David did to know that when these trials come in your life, I'm not going to let my emotions get in the way. Yes, I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be angry. That's natural. But even in the midst of that, I'm going to praise God, even if I still feel sad afterwards. I'm going to reflect on God's faithfulness, even if I still feel sad afterwards. I'm going to pray, even afterwards, I still feel heartbroken. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep serving in the church, even if it doesn't feel good. I'm going to still do it, because that's what God has called me to do. That's the example that we see from David. Is someone who was able to put his emotions aside and say, God, when these trials are here, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to think about what you've done for me, and I'm going to continue to pray. So church, today we've seen from Psalm 3 how God wants us to respond to trials. We've seen from the example to David that when trials come, we should praise God. We should remember his faithfulness to us, and we should continue to pray. Today, I've already said it, but I want to challenge all of us in the good times and the bad, whether we feel like it or not, to continue to rely on God in the good times and in the bad, just like David did in this psalm today. Church, I'll be up here at the front to pray for the invitation. If there's anything on your heart that you need prayer about, you want to pray, again, you're more than capable of doing that in your seat talking to God. But if you want to pray with someone, I'm happy to pray with you up here. Thank you again. Keep praying for Anthony. Amen.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.